stand before God and say and do and try to do anything, but all he's going to do is listen for the blood. That's old-fashioned, old-school, 100 years ago preaching, but it still works. The blood, the blood, the blood. The church used to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we got programs, we got help, we got if you meet with this person, if you can do that. Praise God, I am so glad that I don't need not one person to get a hold of God. I love church, don't get me wrong, I love coming to the house of God, but praise God, if I don't make it here, I do not need this place to get a hold of God. Man, I'm probably preaching myself out of business. About 6 people in here tomorrow. Next Sunday, I will be somewhere else. Praise God, it'll be all right. If you get a hold of Jesus, you'll be all right. Amen? I'm in the book of Revelations in verse 9. I'm trying to figure out how God wanted me to preach this. I'm just going to work around on it until the Holy Spirit jumps in it and gets it. Let's start right here in Revelation 1 and verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother. Can we stop right there? You know, when he said that, he's sitting there going, I can see a kind of a smile on his face. Amen? I can see a smile on his face. James, I get a smile on my face when I say stuff like that too. My name's Kevin. I'm your brother in Christ. I am. Praise God, some of you look at me and go, man, I don't know sometimes, but I am, amen? And guess what? I noticed some people came when he sung that song, amen, I'm not who I was, amen? I'm sitting on the front row going, praise God, listen, you're a preacher, you're a pastor, you're this, you're that. No, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I shouldn't be here. So somebody said, you ain't this, you ain't that. I laugh at you because, praise God, I know. If anybody knows, I know. I hope you know these apostles who wrote this book. The apostle John, when he was about 12 years old, he was looked over as an apostle to a high priest. In Jewish custom, the high priest, the rabbis, would come down and they would take the 12 and 13-year-old boys and they would find the cream of the crop. Good gracious. They'd find the cream of the crop. And they would say, follow me. You're going to be a student and I'm going to be your teacher or rabbi. John was overlooked. He was about 15, 16 years old. And he was overlooked and bypassed. He went into his daddy's fishing business. Amen? Now listen, y'all, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on right here. So guess what? This is what happens. You got all these rabbis, all these men walking around thinking are religious and spiritual, and they chose the cream of the crop. Some of you in this room are the cream of the crop. But Jesus went and picked 12 people that nobody wanted. That's me. That's you. There's some of us in there we know. Can I dispense with that real quick? Let's just do it this way. There's not a single person in this room that would have got picked. We're all Gentiles. We're all heathens. Like my mom used to say, you're a heathen. None of us would have got picked. None of us would have measured up. But ain't you glad? Is there anybody here? Ain't you glad? Despite all that. Because I'm being honest, there might be a few of us sitting in the room this morning thinking, well, I'm a pretty good person. I was all right being, hey, some of us in the room, we know. Amen, no, we know, we know. I'm the light, God, you shouldn't have picked me. You shouldn't have come and got me. Where'd God find you? Amen. God found, man, I'm telling you right now, the last thing on my mind was getting saved. And the second to that would be doing anything for the kingdom of God. Anything. Nothing. I remember me and Melissa had a long-running kind of joke about church before I got saved. We had people come to our house a lot. And I knew exactly how to get rid of them. act like you was going. Amen? We'd have people come and they'd say, listen, brother, we would love to invite you to so-and-so church. And I'd go, wow, do you guys have church on Sundays? That was sarcastic. And they would say, yes, brother. And I would say, what time does it start? They would say, at Sunday school at 10 and church at 11. And I'd be like, oh my goodness, can I bring my children? And then they would say, we even have evening service. I said, it do on one day? I go, what's the address? How do I get there? The door would shut. Are we going to church? No. No. That's the only way to get them out of here. If you act like you don't want to do it, they might stay for a while and try to convince you. You know what we need to do? Somebody should have camped out right there and said, you know what, instead of asking you to come to church all the time, maybe I'll just tell you how Jesus died for your sins. Amen? Because you know what that would have done? The same thing it done when I first encountered the gospel from somebody compared to getting invited to church. Some of y'all just got mad when I said that, but I don't care. Tell them about Jesus. Jesus gave you the gospel to share and a testimony to share with it. That way they can't argue with the, if they argue with the gospel, they can't argue with the fact that you got changed. Amen? Jesus died for your sins. I don't want to hear that. Well, guess what? I used to be worse than you, but I'm now better than that because guess what? Jesus came down and saved my soul and changed my life. If it hadn't been for Jesus, I'd been worse than you are, friend. So if you ever need help to find Jesus, I'm your person. And just let them stew in it. Leave and let them stew. Good. Just great. Hey, anybody in here got saved? Anybody saved? All right, praise God. How'd you get saved? Somebody let you stew in it, didn't they? Amen? Okay, let me put it this way, the biblical way. One planted, one watered. That planting and water, that's somebody letting you stew in it. I don't want to hear that, God. I don't want to hear that mess. I don't want to do that. And next thing you know, you're sitting around your house. Who do they think they are? Come by here and tell me. How far did I get so far in the verses, Charlie? Oh, I know. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, in the kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ, was in the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was on the Isle of Patmos as a prisoner, and he was all alone for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Are you in any kind of trouble or trouble with anybody because the word of God and your testimony? Because it just seems to me that we got 11 people in the New Testament of the Bible who fell in love with Jesus, knew exactly who he was, started sharing the Word of God and their testimony, and the next thing you know, they're in all kinds of trouble with everybody. I worry about a Christian who's not in trouble with somebody because they love Jesus. We think we're supposed to make it through this world unscathed, unhurt, unchallenged because we love Jesus. We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Pray God, the gospel will hurt your feelings. And thank God they did. If you're sitting here right now, you're glad you got your feelings hurt with Jesus. Jesus, first thing he told me is you're lost and undone, and if you die without me, you're going to a sinner's hell. Oh, no. I don't like that. You know what I like less than that? Now knowing that that's truth, and guess what? I'm not going to spend eternity anywhere other than heaven. Praise God. I love this right here. He is all alone. Could you imagine what that would be like today? Could you imagine what it'd be like to be John the Revelator today? All alone on the Isle of Patmos. Boiled in oil. Nobody? Chris, nobody there? Could you imagine being a Christian and not having anybody? What would our prayer be like? God, I'm all alone, and nobody likes me. Could you imagine not having anybody to talk to? God, I don't have anybody to talk to. All the people that I thought would be here and helping me right now are all gone. Not even Peter's here. I don't like him. He's a little bit older guy, and he's kind of hard-headed. I don't really understand all the stuff that Peter, but he's not even here with me. We'll have no distractions. So could you imagine not even having a cell phone on the Isle of Patmos to at least make a post and say, all alone. I hope things change soon. No distractions. Didn't have one distraction. Didn't have a TV to watch. No Netflix. Nothing. Man, I wonder what we would do. Man, I think we'd pitch a pity party and just say, oh, God, look at the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Do y'all know what he did? Verse 10, I was in the Spirit. Good God. All alone, no distraction, nobody to talk to, nobody to get involved with, nobody's helping me, nobody's coming along. Oh my gosh, God, here I am at the hospital. Here I am going through a physical ailment. Here I am going through a sickness. Here I am going through a family matter. Here I am losing friends like it ain't nobody's business. Here I am, everybody talking about me. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? So, Isle of Patmos, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Oh, no. God, I love old John the Revelator. He's all by himself up there, bald and old, skin probably just falling off. You know what day it is? It's church day. I think I'll just worship Jesus right here by myself in the old First Church of Patmos. I know some of you right now, I know what some of y'all are doing. It's January 1st. If you're like me, I know what I've been going through. Somebody got in my closet starting around December 12th and started shrinking all my clothes. It's been an amazing kind of thing going on. I know what some of y'all are going to do. You're going to make some resolutions. You're going to make some plans to change some things this year. Can I give you the number one thing you need to really change? The way you approach Jesus. The way you approach worshiping Jesus. The way you approach coming to God. Because some of y'all are coming to God like you got all the time in the world. All the experience, expert knowledge. You got all the power, all the strength, and all the understanding. But you don't have any presence. He's on the Lord's day, and he looked around, and he said, well, you know what he said? He said, praise God, I'm not alone. I'm not distracted. I'm not all by myself. I'm going to talk to my best friend. I'm going to talk to the lover of my soul. Everybody can shut you out. Everybody can lock you down. Everybody can say, we're going to, I wish somebody get a hold of this. There's one person in this room needs to hear this. I hope everybody tries to shut you down on God. I hope they do. I hope they have to shut every door and close every window and sit there and go, you will not. You know what you can still do? Hey, Jesus, it's me. Amen? I'm about to preach everything I know. Do y'all know Ray Stevens? He was a comedic singer. Do y'all remember? And remember we used to make phone calls to people? Hey, Margaret, I'm glad, Terry knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's probably, don't go home and listen to this song. Hey, Margaret, it's me, right? I'm out on a limb here, Bill. I'm way out here. I'm dancing on the end of the limb right here. But he was prank calling, hey, Margaret, it's me. He got arrested, put down in a jail. Gave him that one phone call. You know what he did? Hey, Margaret, I love you, sis. We finally got there. Praise God, it's Margaret. Hey, Margaret, it's me. Amen? Yeah. But don't sing the whole song, Jody. All right, listen. I got 25 of the other lyrics in my head, and that ain't good. If you get arrested, if you get locked down, if you're all alone, ain't nobody seem to going to be able to help you. Hey, Jesus. It's me again. Seems like I'm all alone. My husband can't get in. My wife can't get in. My family can't get in. My friends don't seem to want to get in. Praise God, it's me. Amen? God can get in any place you want Him to get into, as long as you want Him to get into it. Amen? You just gotta be willing to worship Him. Now take your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. He got some revelation. If you want revelation, if you want to get different, if you want to get to a place with God that you're getting information from Him instead of the world, because some of y'all need some information from God instead of the world. Some of y'all have got too much information from the world. Some of y'all are picking up and regurgitating and repeating and being a mockingbird for the world. Some of y'all know a lot about politics. Local, governmental, and world politics. Some of y'all know a lot about hunting and fishing. And some of y'all know a lot about sports. And then some of you are Georgia fans. Sorry, I got a pulpit and y'all don't. But wouldn't it be amazing if you would hear from heaven and get words from God that can literally have an effect in your life and your family's life and the people that you're around in their lives? Are y'all ready? Can y'all handle some real tough preaching just for about 20 minutes? Could you handle it? Because I'm not preaching to you in a tough way. I'm preaching to me and us in a tough way. Is that all right? The church at Ephesus. And if I want you to understand this, right there in red letters, this is Jesus speaking. And that's another great thing. John got the revelation on the Isle of Patmos, but it's all in red letter, so that means God was directly talking, Jesus was directly talking to John to talk to us. And I'm going to try to encourage you as the church today, because I do understand this is seven church ages and seven physical church Asia. But I want to tell you this. This church age is really not who we are, but there's a remnant of every church age inside each church. I'll talk to you about that later. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Did that mean anything to y'all when I read that? Well, let me explain it a little bit. Maybe it'll help you. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars. Those seven stars are the seven angels that are watching over the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. And he that walketh, God, y'all, man. And he that walketh in the midst of the seven candlesticks and the seven stars is Jesus. If y'all don't know this, what I'm telling you is, for those who believe in Jesus Christ, he walks amongst us. Whew. God, ain't nothing can shake y'all, man. But I like that. Aren't you glad to know that when we're really, really having church and we set aside who we really are, that Jesus walks amongst us? Jesus likes to get into church. He gets in the church and he holds it. And he holds it together. Amen. Good God. Does God got a hold of your life? I hear these from people all the time. I say, hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. He got me, I ain't got him. Amen. And thank God for that, because my grip can slip. But I got a triune God, a God in me, then a God that holds me, then a God that holds Jesus. Amen. Oh, never mind. I love the Bible. It says this. It says, and no man can pluck me out. And when it says no man, not even me, brother. I can't even pluck myself out. Not that I'd want to. Well, I wish y'all would help me preach. Hey, man, y'all are tough preaching people today. I know thy work. Verse 2, y'all ready? I know thy works. Faith without works. Oh, I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Thanks, Melissa. I appreciate that. Did I say Ephesians? I'm sorry. Don't go to Ephesians chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Thank you, my beautiful wife. Another resolution. Learn to say what chapter and verse we're in. Are y'all there? Revelation chapter 2. I know thy works. Does God know your works? Faith without works is... Amen. We don't work for our salvation, but we should work from our salvation. By the end of your life, you should be able to stand before God and say, hey, this is what I was called to do. Amen. And if you don't know what that is, it'll be your biggest burden. It'll be the burden that you have the most. When you get saved and born again, all of a sudden you're going to have this burden for some people or something, and you ain't going to be able to explain it. It's going to be an itch that you can't scratch. It's going to be a thing that you'll be like, man, I don't know why, but I'll need to go to prisons. I don't know what it is, but those homeless people just have a burden. I don't know, but it just seemed like the afflicted and the addicted have just got a burden on my soul. I don't know what it is, but them knot-headed kids that nobody else wants, I want them all. Whew. I want to share Jesus with them. I want to be around them. They're always laughing. They're always having a good time. They're always picking. They're always, and I love it. Amen? Things like that. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Woo-hoo! Does God know anything about your patience? I know it's a forbade word in the church. Don't pray for patience. Don't worry, you don't have to. They're coming. Amen? It's coming. Patience means, you know what? It ain't always got to go your way. If you love God, love the church, love people, you will remain. You will be long-suffering. You will say, you know what? I'll just see if it turns out all right. I'll pray about it. I'll keep doing what I'm doing, and I'll let God be the judge of when I need to set sail or when I need to set anchor. Whew. Too many times we're setting sail when God told us to set anchor. Amen? You need to be talking to God about stuff like that. I talk to Him all the time. God, let's set sail. Let's set sail. And God's like, let's set anchor. Amen? God, y'all, some of y'all need to hear that. Do you have any patience with God? Do you have any patience? Can you wait it out? I'm afraid that too many times we got the fast food mentality. We want to speak to God right here. We want to be able to receive it time we turn the corner. It don't always work that way. And how thou canst not bear them which... Well, let me read this together. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. We can't bear them that are evil? Does the church even care about evil anymore? Would we be able to look at somebody and say, hey, that's evil. We shouldn't be doing that. Amen? That's the church. The church should be able to do that. We should be able to look at something and say, you know what? The Bible calls that wrong, and it's wrong, and we're standing on that. And if you don't like that, I'm sorry, but that's absolute truth. And I can't bend to make you feel comfortable. I can't bend to make you feel like you belong. I want you to know I love you, but a part of loving, see, the church is mistaken in sometimes, because sometimes we'll say, we need to love everybody. I agree with that. But if part of loving you has to be part of me telling you the truth, because if you're about to jump off the cliff, I need to at least tell you there's a cliff there. But if I just say I love you and I see you going 100 miles an hour on the way to the cliff, that ain't love. That's hate. You hate them and you love yourself and you don't want to be rejected. This is going to be a church we'll absolutely love you, but we're actually going to tell you the truth. You say, well, we'll lose some people. Well, we lose people. But we ain't going to lose our integrity in Christ Jesus. Because I'd rather God be pleased with us than people. I'd rather be able to stand before Him and Him say, you did it right and stood on my word, instead of conforming and contorting and changing everything where everybody can be comfortable in the house of God. Because what's it going to do us any good if we all get to the portals of glory and half of us ain't going in? Amen? Because somebody at that point would probably say, why didn't you tell me about this? Why didn't you tell me about this outcome? I know that's hard preaching. I told you it was going to be hard. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Man, that's a tough one today. We got people preaching everything but the gospel. We like the way he looks. We like the way he sounds. We like the way they did. We like the mute. Praise God. We need to fall in love with Jesus again. We need to fall in love with Jesus. The Spirit of God will tell you. How do you know where to be? Because guess what? I got a Spirit of God that says, be there or not be there. Be a part of that or don't be a part of that. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, listen to verse 4, so good. This, we could probably end right here. I don't know if we will or not. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Man, this, every time we preach this, every time I've been here, this right here is most people in Christianity to a nutshell. When you got saved, you were excited, you were on fire, you were telling people, you told your mama, your daddy, everybody, rung the bell, run the lap, told everybody, and then all of a sudden, somewhere along the way, you just got cold towards God. You got cold for taking a stand for God. The job became more important, the money, the income, the friends, the family, the things of life become important, more important than Jesus. And you wonder why everything's falling apart. Jesus came to him and said, I've got one thing against you. You left your first love. What does he say? How do you fix it, though? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of the place, except thou repent. You repent. I love what it says. Go to the place where you fail. Go to the place where you stopped loving me so much and started loving the world again. It's simple. Just go to that place. You know where it is. You know where it was. You were standing right there, and there were two roads, and God said, don't go that way. And you said, but I would like to go and see again if I can take that path. So how do I get back? It's so hard. No, it is not. It is really easy. It's just hard to do. It's easy to get back to God, and it's easy to come to God. All you have to do is repent. It's a simple process, very hard to do. I'm not going to stop there. I want to show you something. But this thou hast done, hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Verse 7, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let's all stand. I want to show y'all something. As a believer in Jesus Christ, one day in heaven, for all those that believe, good God, for all those that believe, do y'all know where sin originated in the Garden of Eden? Y'all know that? And when he said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do y'all remember that? Scott, come on up. There was another tree there. And if they would have ate of that tree, they would have had eternal life. God said, forbid them to eat of that tree. You know what happens when a believer walks in into their eternal life? Jesus says, here's part of your reward. There's seven rewards for a believer in Jesus Christ. One day, somebody's going to hand you a fruit off the tree of eternal life as a believer. And when you eat of that, you're going to live forever in glory. Whew. Guys, there ain't nothing better than that. Because if you don't know this by now, everybody in this room is dying. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Then it just, we've all got a clock running. The most important thing, do you know that you know that you know that you're saved this morning? If you don't, you're the most honored guest here. And you keep coming back, we're going to keep preaching Jesus to you until you surrender. But if you're one of those believers in Jesus Christ, that you've left your first love, you've got caught up in everything the world has to offer, it's a good place to come this morning and say, Lord, I choose you all over again. You ain't getting re-saved. You know what you're doing? You're renewing the vows. God, I love you. I still love you. And thank you for being patient with me. I'm going to fall back in love with you again. As he sings this song, if God's spoken to your heart, please make your way to the altar and talk to Jesus. And if you can't make your way to the altar, talk to him right where you're at. God hears your prayers from the seat to the altar.
amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
We got plenty of time. Don't worry about the time.
A wretch like me, I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. 'Twas great taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've set free. My God, my Savior, mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised. unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Shall soon dissolve like stone. The sun forbear to shine, but God who calls